Welcome to Senator Crapo's weekly wrap-up podcast. I'm Marcus Chavez. In this podcast, we'll review what has been taking place in the Senate over the past week and recap some of the issues that Senator Crapo is currently working on that are of particular interest to Idahoans. This is a wrap-up for the week ending on Friday, July 24th, 2009. Here's a recap of this week's votes. The Senate held 9 roll call votes this week as it continued debate on the 2010 Defense Authorization Bill. I'm not going to read off every amendment that the Senate voted on, but I will highlight a couple of the amendments that have garnered some attention this week. The first was an amendment offered by Senator Carl Levin that would strip funding from the bill for the procurement of the F-22 aircraft. The amendment was agreed to, meaning the funding was stripped from the bill by a tally of 58-40, with Senator Crapo voting no. The other amendment getting attention this week was offered by Senator John Thune that would allow citizens who have concealed carry permits to carry concealed firearms in other states that also allow concealed carry permits.
Yes, the Thune Amendment, of which I am a supporter, would provide that states must give reciprocity to other states with regard to concealed weapon permits. There's an issue there, obviously, with regard to states' rights, but there's a conflict between states' rights and the right to bear arms under the Second Amendment. And I personally believe that, as an example, if the state of Idaho authorizes a person to carry a concealed weapon, that the other states should recognize the decision of the state of Idaho and honor that permit. It does not require other states to change their laws with regard to the concealed carry permits for their own residents, but it does require reciprocity, as we do in a number of areas of the law, between states with regard to the carrying of a concealed weapon and the validity of a concealed weapons permit.
With 60 votes needed to pass, that amendment failed by a vote of 58-39, with Senator Crapo voting yes. The Senate passed the 2010 Defense Authorization Bill in the final vote of the week on Thursday evening by a vote of 87-7, with Senator Crapo voting yes. Healthcare reform continues to be among the forefront of issues in America. Senator Crapo, who is a member of the Senate Finance Committee, the committee in the Senate that has jurisdiction over health care, spoke to Nate Shellman of KBOI 670's Nate Shellman Show this week about it.
Senator Crapo joining us from Washington, D.C. Senator Crapo, it seems to be the hang-up in both the House and the Senate is just figuring out how to pay for this. Is anybody asking the question there, should we be paying for this? Is this the role of government to make health insurance a right?
Oh, believe me, a lot of us are asking the question about the cost of this bill and whether we should be doing it. In fact, if you stop and think about this, just step back and think about the health care issue in America. I'd say that 80-90% of the people in this country strongly believe that we need very major, comprehensive health care reform. And most of them, when they say that, mean that the skyrocketing cost of health care is something that we've got to get a handle on and get it so that it's not such a huge bite out of the American people's pocketbook. And yet the bill that they come up with doesn't bend that cost curve down. It increases it. And in terms of the cost to the federal government, as we just said, it's going to be somewhere between $1 trillion and $3 trillion.
Senator Reid announced on Thursday that the Senate will not be voting on health care legislation until September. You can find the entire interview of Senator Crapo on The Nate Shellman Show at his website at crapo.senate.gov. On Tuesday, Senator Crapo expressed some of his thoughts on the aspects of the Obama administration's recently proposed plan for financial regulation.
Let me say, first of all, the proposal that has come from the White House is, in essence, a proposal to create a very, very powerful systemic risk regulator that would have broad new abilities to regulate all aspects of our systemic economy and would be very, very engaged in monitoring the activities of companies that undertake business in the United States. In addition, there is a proposal to create what's called a resolution authority. And this is dealing with the too-big-to-fail phenomenon. I personally do not believe that the federal government should be stepping in and bailing out private sector entities that get into financial trouble and then basically ending up with the government owning them, like has been done in the auto industry and significant parts of the insurance industry, the mortgage industry, and the banking industry. Instead, we need a resolution authority that will help these failing institutions to be resolved, similar to a bankruptcy court, and do so in a way that protects the general economy and the market as much as possible, but still allows for these companies to fail. And I believe that it's very critical in our system that we have that. So that's one part of the proposal that I support. There is a big concern, though, because there's also a proposal for the creation of a very, very powerful new consumer protection agency for financial markets. And I strongly believe we need to have extended authority for consumer protection. But I do not believe we should separate the regulatory authority for consumer protection from the safety and soundness regulation and protection that we have in other regulators. That would create a multiplicity of regulators, an increased regulatory burden, and frankly, those who are best positioned, in my opinion, to conduct consumer protection are those who are also engaged in managing and regulating the safety and soundness of the economic and everyday operations of these financial institutions. So there's a whole broad range there. That was a long answer to your question, but it was a big question because it's a huge proposal. And there are parts that I like and parts that I don't. The bottom line is we need to streamline it and make more efficient our regulatory system and then close some loopholes that existed before that allowed this tremendous mortgage bubble to become established and create the damage that it has in our economy.
You can also go to Senator Crapo's YouTube channel at youtube.com/Senator Crapo and watch a video of Senator Crapo from a Senate Banking Committee hearing questioning Sheila Bair, Chairman of the FDIC, Mary Shapiro, Chairman of the SEC, and Daniel Tarullo, Member of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System. And finally, last week, Senator Crapo held his latest statewide iTown Hall meeting. Here is an excerpt.
We're going to take our first question tonight from Clyde in Paul. Clyde, go ahead. You have a question for Senator Crapo.
Yes, I do. Do you think that if we pass the cap and trade, cap and tax bill and the health care bill, it's going to drive unemployment rates through the roof to the point where we're going to look back at 10% unemployment as the good old days?
Well, actually, I tend to agree with you because the cap and trade proposal is aimed at increasing the cost of virtually all carbon-based energy forms, which includes electricity, natural gas, gasoline in general, home heating fuels, and so forth, and all of the products that are made with these fuels. And as a result of that, it's estimated that the cost can be between $600 billion and to over a trillion, up to $2 trillion, just in terms of the revenue that the federal government will collect from fines and other aspects of the revenue side of this cap-and-trade system. That's going to come right out of the business sector. And the cost of goods, the cost of doing business will go up, which means that the natural reaction is going to have to be a shrinkage of employment. And I'm very concerned about the economic impacts of this proposal. The same kind of concerns are there with regard to the increased costs that are being considered with the health care proposals. Now, some argue that there will be jobs and economies generated around these proposals, but frankly, I'm very dubious about those arguments.
You can find the entire iTown Hall meeting, and as I said before, the interview with Nate Shellman on the multimedia section of Senator Crapo's website at crapo.senate.gov. Well, that will do it for this week's podcast. We remind you that you can learn more about the issues before Congress or sign up for Senator Crapo's monthly e-newsletter at his website at crapo.senate.gov. You can also find him on YouTube at youtube.com/Senator Crapo or become a supporter of his on Facebook. As always, we thank you for listening and hope you'll be able to join us again next week.